Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as usual, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn. Yeah, we did.
We did. We had our company party last night, and we had a wonderful evening with good friends and family, and just lots of good things.
Well, all those people at the herb shop are nice to get along with.
Yes, they are.
Well, this morning we're going to talk about an interesting subject. What do you think Elvis has to do with our program?
Elvis the King?
Elvis the King, yeah.
I don't know. What does Elvis have to do with this program?
Well, we'll answer that after you talk about the sponsor.
Okay, the sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. How's that?
Oh, good. What I think Elvis has to do with the program this morning is that song that he sung.
What's that?
Blue Christmas.
Okay.
Now, doesn't that have something to do with our program?
I think it does. You're right. Because we're going to talk about...
Holiday blues.
Right.
For some reason, we're expected to be real joyous at this time of year, and we end up being depressed.
Well, some of us.
Some people. No, not me. I'm real content today.
I am too.
Today
I am.
About tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, yes, for sure. I like tomorrow. Tomorrows are good. Depends on whether you're optimistic or...
All right, David, just get on with the show.
Get on with the show, right. Well, any rate, I thought that we'd start off with Dr. Breggin.
Okay.
And he has some pretty good explanations. And in his book, Toxic Psychiatry, Peter R. Breggin, he's a psychiatrist out of Bethesda, Maryland, he kind of goes into this problem, I think, in an enlightening manner.
You mean the problem of depression or blues or slight depression or...
Yeah,
which problem
well,
are you talking about?
He actually goes into bipolar, which seems to be a real problem today.
Okay.
You know, I always look at this, bipolar, where did that come from? Well, that's the new term for manic depression. And why did they come up with a new term?
Because the old one didn't fit anymore.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. But the reason they came up with a new term is so they could get insurance out of the condition. See, insurance companies didn't want to pay for a mental condition, but they would pay for a chemical condition, you know, a physical condition. And so by calling bipolar a chemical imbalance, they were able to get insurance money out of it. Hmm. Insurance companies would go ahead and pay for a physical disorder if they can correct the physical disorder, see?
Now, that makes sense because we all know that money talks.
Money does talk, yeah. But what Dr. Breggin does is he talks about bipolar and puts it in perspective. So let's see what he says, okay?
Okay.
He says the experience of going from high to low or vice versa is not unusual among human beings. The whole society does it. I mean, it's not just some people. Everyone does it. And watch any football game or soccer match around the world. And if the stands are evenly divided, at any one moment, half the people may be displaying depression, and the other half elation. Should the course of the game take an abrupt turn, a bipolar reversal might occur, with dramatic changes in the mood on each side of the field.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't we see that when we go to a game, you know?
Well, hey, we see it in our house when we watch the game on TV.
Yeah, right. Because you don't have to feel quite so reserved at home.
That's right.
So you can get really crazy. But even at the games, you find people like jumping up and down, eyes bulging, adrenaline pumping through their veins, screaming and shouting as if the sheer vocal force could change the fate of the world.
That's true. That happened.
And this looks perfectly adjusted, I mean, to life. I mean, everyone looks at that and goes, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That's when they're in the football game. But the vastly dejected fan whose team has just lost a championship, you know, then gets depressed. And that's normal. I mean, people accept that as life. You know, you can be depressed after a football game, or you can be elated after a football game, and that's perfectly fine. But suppose there's no football game going on. Suppose a woman or a man is getting high or low about their own life. Suppose they're just desperate enough to be wildly rooting for or against themselves. Then that's not normal. See, we can root wildly, you know, and be manic about a football game, or we can be depressed about a football game, but we can't be that about life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He goes on to state here, there is no biochemical test to distinguish between the so-called manic depressed person from the elated or despondent football fan and someone that is suffering from what they call bipolar. You can't test and say one's different than the other. Nor is there any reason to assume that the manic depressive's inner experience is driven by twisted molecules, while the football fan's is driven, at worst, by twisted values.
Hmm.
We don't call the behavior of football fans a mental illness or a disease.
I wonder sometimes.
Maybe we should. Because we understand and accept the context in which it takes place, and because it seems harmless and short-lived. When we don't understand and accept the context of a human experience, and especially when it seems harmful or bad and lasts a long time, we tend to label it mental illness. And maybe it's not mental illness at all. You know, maybe we're making too much out of a condition. Maybe we need to look at this as being life, and that we need to help people to get in perspective of life, just like we help people get in the perspective of a football game. You know, and you know, some people will be depressed about a football game for days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's normal. But if we're depressed about our life, or we're elated about our life, then that's maybe not normal. You know, and...
Normal according to who?
Normal according to who, that's right. And as far as bipolar is concerned, that just basically means that sometimes we're elated and sometimes we're depressed.
That's true.
And the elation part, what they call mania, is... different than the depressed part, of course, but not really. It's just a different way of dealing with the same situation.
Thank you for waiting. We appreciate that. Do you want to repeat your question briefly now?
Yes, my husband has this bad knee that when he's walking sometimes just goes out from under him somehow. It just gives way, and it's quite painful. And shall I tell you the remedy we were using again?
Sure.
We were using the BFNC ointment as well as the capsules. And, and then we've taken this cayenne pepper. And he's taking a bone and the calcium-magnesium combination.
Okay.
And so what was the result?
And he doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Okay. And how long has he been doing that?
Oh, my. It's been... close to a year, I think.
Well, is this from an injury?
No.
There was no injury involved?
No.
It almost sounds like something was injured and it just keeps recurring, you know, if it gives out like that.
Here, a little over a year ago, or about a year ago, he had an x-ray taken of it, and they said that the cartilage had worn out on one side of the knee, so they said, let's build your shoe up, so that throws your weight on the other side of the knee, and then when that cartilage wears out, then we'll replace it.
Oh.
And he didn't think that was a really logical way to handle it.
Doesn't sound like it to me either. Well, it may take a while if it's a degenerative condition, but we want to keep plugging away. One of the other things I'd use is that the calc tea formula with apple cider vinegar, and we want to do soaks right over the area. So we'd make up the calc tea... and then, you know, using like a heaping tablespoon to a cup and make a nice strong infusion there. And then with that, we would take a tablespoon to a third of a cup of apple cider vinegar per cup, combine them together, and then dip cotton cloth in that solution, wrap it around the knee, put saran wrap around that, and maybe a nice bandage around that, and that's the way we'd
And how often during the day would you do this?
As long as possible.
I see.
Keeping it on 24 hours a day would be impractical.
Oh, I see. It doesn't always have to be warm. It can cool down and still do its job.
Right.
Yeah, it can. One of the ways people use it is like wearing it that way all night, and then during the day using a combination of BFNC ointment and Professor Cayenne Deep Heating Balm. And they'd put that on quite often during the day, like every couple of hours or so.
The ointment and what?
The Professor Cayenne Deep Heating Balm.
Okay.
And that will keep it warm, and also the BF&C will help.
Yes.
And so alternating those two would be a good thing. Also, when possible, doing a BF&C fomentation on it, too, would be good. And then also taking it internally and taking a lot of vital herbs. And I would also look at flaxseed oil, wheat germ oil, things like that. And just giving the body all the nutrients it needs to repair the condition. Also, the alternating hot and cold really helps to get the area working, get toxins out of the area, and nutrients in. So this hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, 12 minutes hot, 4 minutes cold, 12 minutes hot, 4 minutes cold, back and forth like that on, over the area seems to really get the circulation going.
Now, when you said the flaxseed oil, he's taking that internally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can also rub it in on the area.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I thank you very much.
Okay. What we have to emphasize here is don't get discouraged. You know, if it's a degenerate condition, it's happened over 20, 30, 40 years, and it's not going to happen overnight, you know, to correct it. So we're looking at 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, I don't know. But the thing is the herbs will help the condition and will correct it where nothing else really will.
Right, exactly.
Okay, let's take another call. Caller number five, you're on the air.
Dave.
Yes.
Hey, I enjoy your program and appreciate the service that you and Fawn do each Saturday morning.
Well, thank you.
Ran across a condition in treating a case of bronchitis. I ended up with some asthma. And I've heard if a person did have an asthmatic condition as a result of bronchitis, what would the book say about something like that?
You know, bronchitis might trigger something that's already happening. But asthma is an autoimmune disease, where the body's own immune system is attacking the lungs.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a condition that doesn't just happen. It happens over a longer period of time.
Yes.
And so, you know, the bronchitis might have triggered it into activity. But it's a long-standing thing. And basically what we'd want to do is calm the immune system down with astragalus and marshmallow.
Uh-huh.
Equal parts of astragalus and marshmallow in large amounts, like 4 or 5 capsules 4 or 5 times a day.
Yes.
And that has its best effect over a long period of time. So taking those large amounts, you'll see some really good results 20, 30 days.
Yes.
And then at the same time, we want to help the condition of excess mucus being cleared out with the Resp-Free formula. That helps to clear the mucus out. And then we want to avoid, like the plague, milk.
Uh-huh.
All dairy products, really. They're killers for asthma.
Okay. So it's a Resp-Free formula, you say?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
And we can also do the same things we talked about with the other conditions. You know, we're rubbing the sensei on the chest and doing the onion poultices and breathing the horseradish. And all those things are going to help.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We ought to mention our sponsor, Fawn.
The Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And they are getting in plethora of apple juice every day or a couple times a week, and so you want to come in and pick up some fresh apple juice. And while you're there, make sure you pick up some wassail mix that they have at both locations. Help yourself to a nice little cup of wassail while you're in the store. Kind of, I was going to say warm yourself up, but you don't really need to warm up from the outside too much.
No, not really.
So just enjoy the nice flavor of the wassail and pick up a wassail mix to take home and have ready for Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
You know, and they're well-stocked on those champion juicers.
All the champion juicers are there. They're still $199, and we hold them at that price. It's hard, but we're holding them there. So if you're looking for a nice, healthy gift to give to a loved one, champion juicer would be where you want to go.
Right. And, boy, it makes great peanut butter.
Man, besides juice, makes good peanut butter.
Makes good peanut butter. Well, do we have any more calls? We'll take another call.
Number six?
Caller number six, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I heard the gentleman talking about the degenerating arthritis, or the lady talking about a person having it.
Yes.
I was diagnosed with this about, can't remember now, 3 or 4 years ago. And I put up with it for some time, but I was determined that I was not going to get a knee replacement. And I was in my mid-50s at the time, and I decided that I started going more and more to the herbs. But I started about May of this year with the bone meal calcium and the goat whey. And my tremendous change is unreal in my knees.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had arthritis in both knees. I have no swelling anymore at all. And I just lived with swelling in my one knee for a long, long time. I mean, it just was always there. I just, you know, never knew it not to be.
Right.
And it has made a tremendous difference. And I'm on my feet up quite a bit. And so I have found that it is just wonderful.
Well, it seems like that type of bone meal is a calcium that your body can use, doesn't it?
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you just don't realize what it can do for arthritis and things like this. And
well,
but I do enjoy your vital herbs. I take them religiously as much as I can, and I see the big difference in me in taking those, too.
Right.
So.
One thing that's interesting about bone meal is, you know, that's exactly what the body has to do to resolve the lack of calcium in the system is to dissolve its own bones to get that in there. And so if you're supplying that, that's a smart idea.
I thought that I had, you know, I've always tried to eat foods with calcium and things and different things over the years. But so when they told me I was low in calcium, I was really shocked. And I said, well, why do I have arthritis? I thought that was an accident. You know, you had too much calcium. And they said, no, calcium builds up because you don't have enough. Mm. And so this has helped tremendously. And
I think what's working there more than calcium is the other trace minerals that are in bone. See, and that's what we've been talking about program is a lack of the trace elements, because you can do all the calcium you want. If it doesn't have those trace elements to be with it, it can't be used.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have, like I said, I had been on calcium. I had been on other types of calcium, but I did not have anything like this happen, you know, and when I started on the bone meal with the goat whey.
Right.
I mean, it was just like I had never been on calcium.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was on a calcium with magnesium and different things like this, and I would buy it at the health food store, so I was trying to keep, you know, make sure that I got good things, but it did not, you know, it did not relieve anything until I started on the other.
Right. I really do think it's not the calcium at all. It's all those other trace elements that we just don't find in other foods.
I just wanted to pass this on to the lady because I know that they say that your body will not absorb the bone meal calcium alone. You need the goat whey to help it to absorb into your system.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was wanting to pass this on to her because I thought maybe, you know, having had it myself, I thought this might be something to help. But
And that's the best advice we can get.
Well, I could say the swelling, my one leg was always much larger, you know, from the knee up than my other one. And I just don't have that anymore at all.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you. I enjoy your show so much.
Well, thank you. Bye. Well, I guess we'll take another call. I think we'd better talk about the sponsor first.
Okay, let me get that in. The Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm, and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And we, like we mentioned earlier, have fresh produce coming in this Wednesday. Hopefully, cross your fingers, knock on wood, whatever we have to do to make sure that this company delivers all that we've ordered, because we've ordered a lot. And if it comes in, it's going to be wonderful, just in time for Christmas, just in time for stocking stuffing.
We like to run around to our neighbors, too. Give them some real fruit.
We like to give them some real good-tasting fruit at Christmas time. They should I think we talked about getting some Asian pears in, and there should be some kiwi.
Never had an Asian pear, that is an experience you have got to try.
They're just watery.
It's like a real watery apple.
It's wonderful.
They're wonderful. I love. They're not soft like a pear. They're crisp like an apple, but they're watery like a pear.
Mm-hmm.
They're just amazing. I love Asian pears, and they do have those there, and those are becoming a real tradition with ours.
Yeah, they're wonderful. So you need to come in and sample some of this wonderful organic fruit. You know, the grapefruit does not look very pretty. It really doesn't. We bought a box and took it home, and I opened it up, and it looks as ugly as the one at the shop does. But you know what? We open that up, cut it up, and the kids just can't get enough of it.
Tastes very good.
It is very good. Don't let the outside deceive you.
You have to realize they haven't painted these grapefruit. Those are just the regular color off the tree.
There's some green in it. There really is not a very pretty fruit.
And like with any produce, you're going to have something happen to the peel, you know. Organisms happen, you know. But no chemicals have been put in there to stop that. So.
That's it.
They do look funny. Well, let's go back to phone lines. Caller number 7, you're on the air. Hello. You're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering if your product, the Vital Herbs, if that has all the minerals in it that you need, or if you would need to take something else with it.
I don't know if they know how many minerals are needed. However, it does have all the ones that they say are needed. Plus, it's got a lot more, and who knows how much is in there.
Would you have to take extra calcium on the side other than that?
I don't think anybody needs to take extra calcium anyway, because I don't think extra calcium can be utilized by the body without the other trace minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't usually suggest taking extra calcium. It's like trying to fill up a sink with the plug, you know, not in place.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about colloidal minerals?
I believe that the way that nature is set up, where minerals are pulled off the mountains by streams and then deposited into fields, and then the plants take those minerals up into their system and we eat those plants, works real well. That works real well.
Mm-hmm. What about the products that's the rage right now?
I think everyone's out there to make a buck.
I think mm-hmm. it's a nice fad. Be careful.
And I think we should get our minerals from the plants. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for your call.
You know, and there's a lot of fads that happen in the medical field, David, as well as the health food field. And we need to be careful of the fads that come up and look at these logically with good common sense to determine if this is really just a fad or if it's something that's really going to be important to our body.
And you know, we can't look also at just effects, you know, because that's why drugs are popular, is because they do have an effect. You take them, they have an effect, no doubt about it. But the long-term effects are the things we're looking at, the side effects, the long-term being on them, that's what we have to look at. You know, short-term, yeah, if you only looked at short-term, man, I'd be pushing drugs. But that's not the case. You have to look at what the body's doing, how it's reacting to those drugs, how it's pushing back, and how it's weakening the system, and all those types of things, too. And most of these drugs, if you look in the PDR, damage the liver. If they damage the liver, why take them?
Exactly.
Now, it's not worth the price. It's not worth that little effect that you're getting from the drug. It's not worth it. Let's go back to phone lines. Caller number 8, you're on the air.
Hi, I wasn't able to listen to your show because I wasn't near a radio, but I do.
Shame on you.
I know, but I do have a question, but I just heard your last comment.
Okay.
And I was making myself a little list, and this is my list. Herbal medicine. It works with your immune system, it enhances your immune system, it strengthens your immune system, and it naturally metabolizes. It has a subtle effect on the body and helps the body in toxic elimination. That's for herbal.
That sounds good.
Synthetic medication, my list is, it overrides your immune system, it weakens and disrupts your immune system, it does not metabolize, leaving synthetic or chemical deposits throughout the body, toxic waste material in the body, it suppresses the immune system and causes toxic buildup, and it has a very profound or drastic effect upon your body. What do you think? Excellent.
Good summation. Good summation.
It was wonderful. That's wonderful. Write that up and send it to us.
Oh, okay.
We'd like that. That'd be good.
I do have a couple of questions for you, though. My question is, there's a big controversy in our family on sugar and fruit. And some of my family members, well, I can't eat fruit because it has sugar in it. Well, it's in its whole state. My question for you is juices. When you juice fruit, the sugar in the juice, I know that if you eat refined sugar such as like cola drinks or Kool-Aid or something, the sugar is going to actually help eliminate important nutrients out of your body. It depletes your body of nutrients. What about fruit juices?
Well, the thing that's good about fruit juices is, you know, yes, you do have the fructose and the glucose in there.
Yeah. But is it still in its whole state? Is it processed? That's my question.
Well, you have processed a little bit by juicing, that's true.
Yeah, you do. But wouldn't the vitamins and minerals be in a concentrated form, though, without the fiber?
That's the whole point of taking juices, is you're getting more vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
And that's why we do it. And yes, you are getting more sugar in comparison with the fiber, that's true, and that's a side effect we have to look at. And when someone's got drastic blood sugar problems, we don't suggest they do a lot of juices.
Yeah.
But for most people, it doesn't seem to be a problem. What we want to do with juices is start to break it down in the mouth rather than wait later. When someone does have blood sugar problems, that we let it start being broken down there. So we want to make sure we chew our juices, not just gulp, 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 gulp.
Yeah, my friend always tells me to chew my carrot juice.
Right.
Right.
And that's real good advice. But sugar can have even in juices, can have an effect on problems with blood sugar irregularities and also with candida. And so we want to make sure that we do chew those juices. And if we have those kind of conditions, we'll want to go easy on the juices until we resolve the situation. Then we can go back on them quite a bit.
Okay. I appreciate that. And also, the big craze right now is melatonin. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I believe the body knows exactly what it's doing when it makes melatonin, and that is something the body makes. And if anytime you give the body something it's supposed to make, it'll stop making it.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. I have this big article on it. Where is the melatonin coming from? That's my question too. Where in these bottles in some of the health food stores too. Where is it coming from?
Gee, you kind of wonder. Do they grind up pituitary glands from animals or what? I'm not sure.
It just seems to me stick with vegetation and stick with whole foods.
Right, but if I had a choice between taking something like Prozac and melatonin, I'd probably take neither. No, I'd probably take melatonin.
Yeah.
If it was one or the other.
If it was a drastic situation.
For a drastic situation.
Yeah.
But definitely we wouldn't want to be on it for a long time.
Well, I appreciate your help.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Bye.
A lot of good calls.
Sounds like a real good student out there.
We've got 3 minutes left. Do we have any more calls? Got a couple more calls, so let's take them. Hello, you're on the air. This is caller number 9.
Hi. Heard you earlier talk about a baby. I don't know if she said 15 months or so. That had a sore throat kind of in the chest and things.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what you said. He has kind of a barky cough, and I was wondering what kind of things we can do with that.
Well, a cough is just the body trying to get rid of something. And so rather than try to suppress the cough, what we want to do is make the cough more productive. They actually have a cough syrup at the herb shop which does that. It doesn't stop a cough. It actually makes you cough better.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we want to do is try to loosen that phlegm and let the body go ahead and get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
But also, at the same time, our daughter woke up with a hoopy-type barky cough the other night and got up in the middle of the night bleary-eyed and wrapped her up in my arms and took her in the bathroom and rubbed the sensei right on her chest.
Uh-huh.
That helped settle her right down and get her back to sleep again, because sleep is so important when you're trying to get over something.
Yeah.
So that sensei on the chest would be excellent. A sensei in a vaporizer medicine cup would be excellent to get those vapors back into the air again. All the programs we've talked about would be excellent for a barky cough.
See, and all these things only help facilitate the body's action. If we try to suppress the body's action, then we're going to lose the battle.
Yeah.
But if you look at that and go, the body's trying to get rid of something, let's help it get rid of it, and that's exactly what we do.
And you said there was a syrup, and what was that called?
It's called plain old cough syrup.
Okay.
Herb Shop's cough syrup.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, caller number 10.
Last call.
Caller number 10, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to know what you think about Ritalin, and if you have a 12-year-old daughter who is severely ADHD and has been taking it for many years, but just giving a medicine constantly I do not like, and what you could suggest instead.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thanks.
Well, Dr. Bregan doesn't even believe there's such a condition as
ADD.
And
we have a whole tape on this also.
We have a whole tape on it. It's available from Christopher Publications, 489-4254, on Ritalin. The whole tape's on Ritalin. You might want to get that. It's only $4.
Because we're so close to being out of time, we really can't take the time we'd like to answer this particular question. So we do suggest that you do pick up this tape, or you can call David during the week, remind him that you were the caller on the air, and talk to him then in his office about that. And that number is 489-4254.
Okay. We did run out of time, but it's been a great program because of the great calls. And until next week, be happy. Have a healthier you. Welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as usual, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning, David.
We're not here.
No, we're pre-taping this for the special Saturday morning, as we both had other places to be, and we hope that everyone will enjoy the show that we're about to present.
Well, we first ought to start with our sponsor.
The Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm, and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And both locations are open for your convenience, even though there's construction going on in Orm. The Orm store is still open, still serving the swirls. Stop in and see them. The place next door has offered us a couple of parking spaces to use during the construction, so feel free to go over and park and go in and get a swirl and sample some of the new products they always have coming in. Okay.
Well, today we're going to talk about one of Dr. Christopher's favorite herbs. He used quite a bit, especially with little children, and that's catnip, Nepeta cataria. I guess when I think of Dad and his using catnip, it was with colic.
Exactly. I remember that a lot.
And the catnip works so well with that, especially combined with fennel. Use fennel and catnip together in an extract, and boy, it just gets rid of colic really quick.
Babies just calm down so quickly after a little dose of catnip and fennel. You know, David, I remember just after Jesse was born, we were doing a seminar up in Park City, a Master Herbalist seminar, I think it was, one summer, the summer after he was born. And he was the colicest baby right then, not normally, but just then. And oh, I remember just having a horrible night trying to calm this kid down, and he was crying all the time, and there were other people in the condominium, and I was beside myself, and I didn't know what to do, and he didn't want to eat, and he couldn't burp, and oh, and he wouldn't sleep. It was awful. Well, finally, it dawned on me, duh, catnip and fennel, and so I got some catnip and fennel and gave him a real good dose of it, and he settled right down, and everybody finally got some sleep that night. But it was really a stressful situation.
Well, you know, catnip's also good for relieving pain. And I guess Jesse had the same experience again with catnip when he went through his appendicitis.
That's true. I didn't think of that. That's true.
We didn't give him an appendectomy. We didn't go that route. We took care of it naturally. But one of the things that relieved the pain the most was catnip enemas.
That's right. It just seemed to calm him down, put him back in reality, in touch with reality, and just help reduce the pain and give him the comfort that he needed to relax again and to be able to go on with the healing process.
Right. What you want to do with a catnip enema is basically you just make a tea with the catnip, and then when it's to, I guess they call it blood temperature, which would be what?
Body temperature.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, then that's when you'd put it in, and then basically the body will retain it, and that's what you want. They've kept people alive by just giving them enemas and rubbing them down with oil.
Olive oil,
yeah.
Right.
And other oils, which are one of the things, you know. But I remember one case Dad talked about where they kept them alive with just olive oil.
That's right.
But they
just rubbing it through the skin.
Right, and then they can get the moisture they need with doing the retention enemas. And the catnip was so relieving to him.
Because the pain would get intense.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as we gave him a catnip enema, it would just mellow him back out, the pain would ease, and he'd be able to get a little sleep. Very interesting situation.
The name catnip is kind of a funny name. It's also been called, it's spelled catnip or catnap, catmint, nip, catrup, catwort, and field balm.
Field balm.
But most of them have the name cat in it. Why do you think that is, Vaughn?
Oh, it's obvious, David. Cats are attracted to this plant.
Yeah, they're not only attracted to it, they go crazy when they're in it.
They do.
What was that Steve Foster was saying in his book?
He had some really interesting research done in his book.
One of the things he says is the effect the herb produces on cats is known as the catnip response. It includes sniffing, licking, chewing with head shaking, chin and cheek rubbing, and head over rolling and body rubbing. It's interesting that it's not just domestic cats. This seems to work on all kinds of felines, including tigers and lions and leopards and jaguars. They all have this catnip response. And it lasts 15 minutes.
Oh, sometimes an hour, though.
Sometimes as much as an hour.
Right.
And if your cat doesn't respond to it, that's because of a certain gene that's lacking in your cat.
There's only one-third of the cats that don't respond to this particular plant. But, you know, in order for them to really respond to it, though, David, you have to bruise the leaves or crush the leaves so that aromatic essence can come out.
Right. There's an old saying about catnip, whether it's planted or...
Yeah, it says if you sow it, cats won't know it. If you set it, cats will get it, which means if you start it from seed, the cats won't be affected by it. But if you plant it, then they will be affected by it.
And I guess that holds true mainly for the reason that when you're planting plants, there's more chance of bruising them, and then the cats are going to be able to sense that, you know. But if it comes up from seed, then you don't have that contact. However, if you plant seed and somehow the plants get bruised, cats will be attracted to it too. So it's not just a matter of you know, there isn't something magical about planting seeds to keep cats away from it. It's just a matter of that's just less disturbance of the catnip.
That's right. A friend of ours, Stephen Foster, had an interesting problem one day. He was harvesting catnip on a farm, and he visited a neighboring farm to look at some farm equipment, and he just happened to go over there as soon as he was done harvesting. And on this other farm were 23 cats. And when he got out of the truck, he says, "I smelt like a catnip plant in human disguise," or so thought the cats. He says, it wasn't more than 2 minutes when a dozen cats had surrounded him, and when they started pawing at his... Clawing at his pant legs, he decided it was time to make a hasty retreat, and off he went back home again so he could clean up and then go look at the farm equipment.
Now, this is taken from Stephen Foster's wonderful book on herbal horticulture called Herbal Renaissance.
That's an excellent book.
Excellent book. And it's available at the herb shops. Or if you have a hard time finding it, you can get it at publications.
That's right. And the number for publications is 489-4254, and you can call them any day of the week and ask them what books they're selling.
Catnip has been used for a long, long time. In fact, that's what the English used to use as their main tea before they did the international trade and started bringing tea in from China. Catnip was the herb of choice up till then. I thought that was interesting. And I think in some writings after the custom was changed, you know, they wrote that, well, we ought to go back to catnip because it was a much more wholesome herb.
That's right, and more beneficial. You're right. And you know, if you're wondering what catnip looks like, or if you're not sure if you have it growing in your yard, the leaves are, well, it's a fuzzy grayish leaves, and they're somewhat oval in shape, and they're acute at the tip. They're heart-shaped at the base of the plant, and they range from 1 to 3 inches in length. So if you kind of have a plant that almost fits that category, you might check it out and see if it is catnip. The flowers occur in tight terminal spikes, and the individual flowers are about 3/8 of an inch long and are white with light purple spots. And another interesting identification characteristic about catnip is that the stem is square. Right?
Well, yeah, that's the way it is on most mints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell.
Square stem and the opposite leaves.
That's right. So if you have a plant that has a square stem in your yard, it's more than likely part of the mint family.
Yeah, you know, the other day I was out in some areas that shouldn't have thistle in. There were some thistle plants. And it's a pretty pure area that we're trying to keep clear of thistles. So I was up there, you know, battling these thistles and getting them down. and I came face to face with this tall catnip plant. They're usually only about 2 to 3 feet tall. This one's my height.
Wow.
It was up there. Of course, it was on the hill, so it might have been just a little higher than me. But I mean, I was just face to face with this catnip. I thought, what a pleasant surprise. Because the last time I came face to face with a plant like that, it was stinging nettle. And that wasn't a pleasant surprise.
No, I bet it wasn't a pleasant surprise.
I was very lucky that I had stopped when I did, because, you know, a lot of times, when I'm out hiking in the mountains, you know, I'm aware of what you want to go through and what to touch and what not to touch. And I'm very aware of stinging nettle. But my mind was focused on this corner post or something that I was looking for, and I found it. I was going right up to it, and I stopped, and there was a stinging nettle right in my face. I just another inch, and I would have had it in my face.
Oh, ouch.
I know I was doing the same thing just prior to that, you know, with looking for some keys. And I wasn't focused on what the plants were. I was just looking for my keys and banged right into some stinging nettle. And boy, did that put welts on me.
I bet it did.
But I used some mullein, and that really helped. You know, another one I used that seemed to help even more was gumweed.
Hmm.
What it is, I just chewed up on some gumweed and then took my saliva with the gumweed in it. And coated the area, which put kind of a shellac on it, and that helped a lot. And then the swelling did go down. And I'm not as used to stinging nettle as Dean is. Dean really loves that plant.
I know he does love it, and he likes to make teas and soups out of it.
I tolerate it.
But you know, it's interesting the little things that you can do when you're out in nature without anything with you, to take care of the problems that you run into, such as stinging nettle or poison ivy or poison oak. Interesting.
And getting back to catnip, I just love coming in contact with catnip out in the wild. All you need to do is just rub your fingers on it, and the fragrance is just so soothing. Just that itself.
It works on humans as well as cats, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it's interesting. Another one that I really loved up there in the mountains is valerian. You know, digging my own valerian and just smelling the fresh valerian root does the same thing to me. Because there's some similar properties in them. And, you know, cats will do the same thing to valerian.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. They'll roll and have fun in valerian, too. Because one of the substances in valerian is also in catnip. And so they have those similar qualities.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that catnip is used for is as a diaphoretic. Dr. Christopher used it... as a diaphoretic. In fact, he stated that the cold sheet treatment should be done with catnip.
Right. Well, he said it would be excellent to use in the cold sheet treatment. Of course, we kind of prefer yarrow ourselves, but catnip would work tremendously.
Especially with kids.
Yes,
they're going to appreciate the taste more than they are with yarrow. I find yarrow very, very effective. However, catnip is also a very effective diaphoretic.
I'm surprised that yarrow doesn't have that bad of a taste, though.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
No, it's not. It's
you just have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about catnip is the roots are said to make you more fierce. Isn't that it?
Oh, yeah. They take a gentle, docile person and change them into a ferocious person.
With the root. Not the plant, but
yeah.
The root. So we're using the flowering tops, we're using the leaves, we're also using the root. Interesting. Michael Moore, in his book, which is also another excellent book, Medicinal Plants of the Mountain West, you have to realize that catnip is not a native. It has gotten away, and it does have different characteristics in the mountains, but it still is catnip that was brought here to this country and just kind of escaped. And now you'll find catnip everywhere. I mean, if you look at the map of the United States, everywhere you're going to find catnip. It's just really spread. It must enjoy this land.
Yeah, so if you're ever out walking in the mountains wherever, more than likely you will find catnip no matter where you are, whether you're in the east or the west or the north or the south. It really does grow very well almost anywhere. It doesn't need rich soil. It could grow in almost any type of soil anywhere to be found. So make sure you keep your eyes open for this wonderful plant and harvest some, take some home and have some ready in your home for when a colicky baby or grandbaby or neighbor or whatever shows up at your door.
Well, the way that we were talking about it being used as a diaphoretic, the way that it works for cleansing the system is it does stimulate perspiration. And you know, perspiration is what 96% water and 4% solids, but you are getting those solids out. And so by doing copious amounts of catnip tea in a hot tub or a sauna or whatever you're doing, then it's all going to go out through the pores, almost all of it. You know, you can drink quarts and quarts of this tea and only urinate out maybe half a cup or a cup, and then the rest will go out through the pores. And you're carrying those solids out with it. And that's one way of cleansing the system. Cleansing the blood, cleansing the tissues, of actually pushing toxins out through the pores. And they go out through all the pores. And it's a very, very effective way of cleansing the system.
You bet.
Diaphoretic.
You know, catnip, when it's been sweetened with honey, serves as an effective cough medicine. It, if you mix it with saffron, it is excellent. They used it for scarlet fever and for smallpox and for colds and things like that. It expels worms, especially if you use it as an enema. And it helps restlessness and sleepless children settle down for the night. So your children, you know, when you're trying to get them ready for bed, just have a little cup of catnip tea sitting there and have them sip on it as you're putting on pajamas and doing last-minute things prior to bedtime. Also, if you mix it with balm and marshmallow, it provides an excellent baby remedy as well. And it can save mothers many sleepless nights and doctor's bills if they just have it hanging around, ready to use.
Also, if you're having digestive problems, Rudolf Weiss mentions in his book, Herbal Medicine, that peppermint, in one respect, has similar qualities to chamomile in relieving upset stomach. So even though they have entirely different properties, in that one respect, it does act like chamomile. But don't try to use peppermint in every case you use chamomile or vice versa, because they are very, very different plants used for different purposes. Mm-hmm. But in that one respect, for relieving upset stomach, peppermint works very well.
Are you saying peppermint or catnip?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking about catnip this time.
Oh.
Peppermint does do exactly
peppermint
what you
that,
said.
Yeah.
But well, let's get back to catnip for
okay.
a few minutes.
Sure.
I have a little bit more about catnip. If you're depressed or you have low vitality, Dr. Christopher recommended mixing it with, he called it Virginia snake root or Canada snake root. Or also ginger would work well. And it helps to intensify the action of the catnip. So that would be a good remedy to use.
Yeah, ginger amplifies that all the qualities that catnip has.
That's right. It also, catnip also works to build the adrenal glands in depressed persons and relaxes the exhausted condition. So it's just a real good thing to have around. Also, it's supposed to really be effective for morning sickness.
Hmm.
So, you know, young ladies out there, I think you ought to pick some of this up and have it in your house ready to go.
Catnip has a mild antispasmodic effect.
That's true.
So, hiccups is something that's kind of a spasm type thing, and I would use catnip tea for hiccups. That'd be a real good one there. In fact, any of the mints would probably be good for that, but catnip especially.
Yeah, it also says it could be used for localized pain like toothache or things like that. So, you know, there's so many wonderful things you can do with different things you can do with so many different herbs that you just can't settle down on one herb. There's so many things
right.
to do.
Michael Moore mentions in his Medicinal Plants of the Mountain West that catnip is a mild but reliable tranquilizer and sedative. He says that it won't phase serious insomnia or the terminal hypers, but the tea is gentle, sure, and safe, even for children and infants. And that's what's so nice about catnip is it is totally, fully, thoroughly safe. It's a nice,
exactly.
nice herb.
It is. Very gentle, very mild.
Peppermint can be quite strong. And so, in contrast with that one, peppermint's something like 50% menthol, which is a very strong active ingredient. And some of the peppermints get as high as 70-80%. And that's a very strong medicine, menthol. But catnip doesn't have that problem. You just use lots and lots of catnip and not have a problem. So it's very safe for children.
I have a recipe that would go well right about here, David, because
okay.
this is the season. Everybody is getting squash in their gardens and all kinds of things. And here's a little recipe you could incorporate catnip in. It's called catnip squash. And what you need is a pound of zucchini, 2 ounces of olive oil, a half an ounce of fresh catnip, finely chopped. And you wash the zucchini and trim off the ends, you know, like we're all doing every day with all of the zucchini coming on. Slice it and saute it in the olive oil in a heavy frying pan. And season it the way you'd like to. Cover it and let it cook until it's tender. And then just before serving, sprinkle it with catnip. And people will be amazed at the aroma and the flavor that will come out of it. It's amazing. Wonderful little recipe. I challenge you to try it.
If you're going to harvest catnip, be sure, like with any of the other mints, to dry it in the shade, not in the sun. Because of those volatile oils, if you dry it in the sun, all those are going to come off, and you're going to lose the quality.
Exactly. Yeah. You do have to be careful that these plants can be very delicate, and you don't ever want to boil catnip. You just want to steep it. Boil your water, take it off the stove, and then put your leaves in and let it just steep.
And you don't have to use dry leaves to make a tea. You can use it with the fresh. I find it interesting when I use fresh leaves, it doesn't seem to do anything to the water. I mean, dry leaves tend to make the tea dark. And fresh leaves, it's like, did anything happen?
Right.
But the tea still is strong, it's just that it doesn't look strong.
That's right.
So don't be afraid to use it fresh.
And you can even make a sun tea out of it. You don't even have to boil the water. Just put the herbs in a jar with full of water and leave it out in the sun for several hours and it'll make its own tea.
That's an excellent way to make tea.
Yeah.
One of the things that we ought to mention, there's been some misinformation out there for a long time about catnip being hallucinogenic.
Oh, yes.
But that goes back to an article that came out in JAMA in 1969. And they talked about, you know, catnip having these hallucinogenic properties. And then it showed a picture of catnip. It wasn't catnip at all.
It wasn't.
It was marijuana.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there was this confusion back then. And, you know, when something comes out like that, it's real hard to kill, you know, a vicious rumor.
Yes, it is.
And actually, catnip has nothing to do with hallucinogenic properties. They did some experiments back in 74, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to back up what was erroneous in 1969. And they took some isolates of the plant and got some different qualities, you know, with the substances they used. You know, they got kind of a happy, contented, intoxicated, you know, thing. But that was with the isolates in catnip. Catnip itself will not produce.
So they
that.
Didn't even use the whole plant.
No.
They always do that.
And the isolates that they used are in small amounts in that particular plant anyway. Yeah. And so even the follow-up research really was inconclusive, totally inconclusive. But the first one came from this article in JAMA that talked about catnip and showed a marijuana plant. So you don't know if they were using marijuana or what they were doing. They don't know what they were doing.
Obviously they don't.
And so there really isn't anything scientific about this rumor out there that catnip is hallucinogenic. Yeah.
It's safe to use, folks.
Right. After that 69 experiment, you know, where that article came out, pet stores were deluged with people, you know, buying
catnip.
Catnip.
Not only for the animals, huh?
Right.
Interesting.
Anyway, catnip's a very, very interesting herb. We ought to talk about our sponsor.
Our sponsors, as always, are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm, and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And we talked about the swirls before on the show, and we just have to say it again because it's the only machine like this in the whole entire world. This machine was, we found it again. It was at a World's Fair. Which World's Fair was that, David, that we first showed up?
Seattle.
Seattle World's Fair. And we were able to purchase it several years after that and move it up here from California and put it in our store. It's the only machine like it in the whole world where you can put juice in the top, turn it on, and it whips it around so fast that it comes out like a very, very smooth ice cream texture. But all it is fruit juice. There's nothing added else to it. I don't know how it does it, except that it does it so fast and so cold that it just whips it and smooths it out. It's excellent. And there's so many different flavors you can try, and the good people at the herb shop are very willing to mix any flavors you'd like. What are some of your favorite flavors?
Well, like I mentioned before, I like the prune juice and black cherry concentrate.
That's true. I remember you saying that. I like the orange float with a little bit of coconut in it.
And you know, anything with papaya in tends to make it real smooth. Real smooth one. In fact, I think my favorite was one we did in Boston, when we had a machine out in Boston. And what we did was we juiced fresh peaches, and then just ran that fresh peach juice through the swirl machine. Talk about a wonderful, wonderful treat.
That was very good, but I don't think it was worth the effort of trying to get that machine out to Boston and back here again. That really wore me out, carrying that thing with me the whole time.
Other things they have at the herb shops are the champion juicers. And, you know, the weather's still hot, and one of the best things you can do with a champion juicer is you just freeze fruit, and then you run it through the champion, frozen like that, and it comes out kind of like ice cream. Wonderful, wonderful treat. And those champion juicers can take a lot of abuse. They're such a well-built engine. Motor, I guess, something that small, I guess you'd call it a motor.
It's a motor.
A well-built motor, and you can't really jam it up. You start pushing something too hard, you know, and it kind of goes, and it kicks right back in again. And the way they've got that geared is just absolutely amazing.
We try to be very selective on the products that we have in both of our stores. We only want to bring in the machines that we know will work best and last the longest. We like to bring in the products that taste the best as far as food consumption is concerned. A lot of the health food nowadays tastes awful, or at least it has in the past, tastes like cardboard. And the industry is just now trying to make this turnaround where health foods can actually taste good. And so we're trying to bring more of those in that actually do taste good and have people be able to sample them.
And remember, you know, they've got that nice large selection of bread. And it's free.
For every $20 purchase.
With a $20 purchase, you get the free loaf of bread. It's been that way for a long time. And they've given away a lot of bread.
Yeah, they have. And you know what else? We've just started. The juice company where we've been getting some carrot juice has been making lemonade. Well, they had fructose in it.
Boy, that sent my blood sugar soaring.
I know. And we asked them if there was any way they could make it with honey. And David, they did. They've been making it with honey just for our store. And it really is good. A little more expensive because honey tends to be a little more expensive than fructose. But if you want a good lemonade, we've got it, and it's made with honey, and it's thirst quenching.
The herb shops have a nice little selection of books. They have a nice selection of a lot of things. You know, they don't have a lot of things because they're very particular what things they carry. They don't have a lot of room, so you don't have to go wading through a lot of things. If they're carrying it, it's most likely a pretty good book and a pretty good product.
Well, no, and also down in Springville, David, we've got a solid set of steps. So you can go up onto the deck and find the books in the bookcase, and there's chair and table up there. You can sit down, read through them, find the ones that you're looking for, get the information that you need before you purchase the book, and feel free to roam up onto our stage down in Springville. We've got a couple of displays up there with herbs on them as well, and if you can't see what you need down in the main part of the store, we've expanded to the stage, so come be on stage with us.
We're sorry we're not taking calls this morning because we're not even here. This is a taped program. The one thing we wanted to mention before it's going to be a short program, before the program's over, is the school classes.
Oh, yes, our local classes, Wednesday nights up in Vintage Square in Salt Lake City, and on Tuesday nights down at the Central Bank building in Springville. You need to be there at 6:30 both nights if you want a good class.
You've only missed one class so far.
Two classes. This will be our third class coming up.
Oh my, really?
Yeah.
No.
Fourth class.
I think it's only the second. We started last week with...
Oh, that's right. We only started, didn't we?
Yeah, it seems like it's been
It seems like it's been going on forever and ever. My mistake.
But no, this is our second class. So you only missed one class. And come tonight. I mean, whoa, that's right. This is a taped program. So yes, they would have missed two.
Two classes. By the time they hear this program, they will miss two classes.
See, we're taping this on a Monday.
That's right.
tomorrow would have been the class.
See, I was right.
You were right.
Anyway, well, we're sorry we're not going to take questions today, and we are making this a short program because we're here late Monday night, but we wish you well and hope that you will have a good, healthy week.
Be happy. Have a healthier you.